Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
Good evening, Internet World. I hope you are staying safe out there in this sick-ridden world right now, but heck, we're gonna bring yourself a little bit nice, little bit of Nintendo news into your little lives. So hopefully you enjoy.
That was honestly inspirational, Will. That was beautiful.
I mean, as far as my presentation right now, I am kind of masking it because, unfortunately, I have come down with a little something, not unfortunately enough, so yeah. I'm just trying to, like, in these dark, desperate times, hopefully there is light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully it directs, hopefully.
Yeah, and I would like to note, Will, that as your host, I, of course, had a perfect joke to mock your sickness, but because I am so benevolent, I will not do so.
Boy, great. I'm so flattered.
You should be. And someone I will not be flattering tonight is Tellius Tyler.
I'm just going to come out and say it. The coronavirus is overrated. It's just like a glorified flu.
I think it is.
I actually was reading something that said that they expect it to, like, flu season to become known as flu and coronavirus season, which is interesting. I don't understand how science works, but I thought that was pretty.
Don't talk to me about how science works, okay? Because I'm still bitter over the fact that Pluto is apparently not a planet.
It was a planet
for decades, and then some guys got together and they go, you know what? I don't think Pluto is a planet. So you know what? Let's just take it off. It's not a planet anymore. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes, like, we're looking at you, Neil deGrasse Tyson. As much as I like you from my home country as well, in the Bronx, why the heck you have to declassify Pluto? Why?
Yeah. So, yeah, don't talk to me about how science works, because that's another podcast entirely. All right, well, it's been quite a weird week for all of us, but we got some fun stuff to talk about. We're going to all start off with, what have you been playing? And for me, at least, I have honestly not had a lot of time to play video games because I have been preparing for C2E2, which is the Chicago Comic Entertainment Expo in Chicago, Illinois, tomorrow/today, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. If you're going to be there, I will be at Artist Alley, Table H9. Hope you'll come and see me and buy my comics. All my comics. All of them. Every single one. Or my novels. Every single one. Anyway, so I've been working hard to get ready for that. I spent most of the day actually reorganizing everything because I have a lot of crap to carry. If you see like a big table spread of a person, you should know they have at least 2-3 suitcases worth of stuff that they had to bring to the con. So it's not an easy life, but we make it work. And next week I will regale you with all of the cosplay things that I have seen, because there's always good cosplay at these comic cons. So, but the only thing I've honestly been really playing is Fire Emblem Heroes, of course. And yesterday was the new Mythic Hero banner with Exalted Leader Crom, who Tyler now hates. So
that is blasphemy, and I won't stand for it.
I'm pretty sure you're sitting down, so you don't have to stand for it.
That's true. I am sitting down.
Anyway, but here's my story for that. I have once again been having some interesting luck with my RNG, Zus, because the day before there was a new banner. I was just like, okay, let's do my free whatever, and I get a 5-star Silk, which is awesome because I hadn't had her before. And then I go into this banner with like 350 orbs, give or take. And I do a rotation, and I get one of the characters I don't have. I was going for Crom and Sothis, because I wanted both of them.
Sothis.
Yeah, I know. But I get one of the redheaded dancers. I can't remember.
Oh, her.
Yeah.
Her,
so I get her, like, 3 summons in, and I'm thrilled. Because I'm thinking, oh, this means I can, you know, do a little more spread out, try and, you know, make sure I get Crom and Sothis. 150 orbs later, I don't get either.
Oof.
Yeah, I do get another one I don't have. I got the Mythic Hero Azura.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, at least I got someone new and not a repeat. That would have made me mad, but I was just like, I'm like cranky. I was at 11%.
Oof,
you know?
Oof,
I'm like, and I'm doing like, I even had one board that was red and blue, like all of it. And I'm like, oh, I'm totally going to get Crom and Sothis here. Nope. Not even close. And so I'm still Sothis-less. Yeah. So it's just, and then I see Will do his, oh yeah, two summon rotations and I get Crom and Alm. And it's like, jerk.
Yeah. Sorry that the RNG gods have blessed me. And I mean, not to go in and incur a conspiracy theory, because as you know, I am a current Fae subscriber. So I don't know if Fae Pass subscriber, and I don't know if that may play a hand into it in data. I have no idea. But I was just like, wow, okay, let's try it. And I also had a similar to 350 ores myself. So yeah, just as far as I actually got in two sessions, because the second session I had full blues and grays, which is like, wow. Lucky me. Yeah. So, yeah.
I doubt the Fae Pass has anything to do with it, because lest we forget, in the first Lagoose banner, I got all four characters in, like, less than 110 orbs.
That you did, yeah.
And then all of us, I believe, at one time have gotten, like, 2 5-star characters right back-to-back. So, I mean, that's just the luck of RNG. But it's just crazy that, you know, I'm getting, like, 5 stars at 3% on my free summon, and then it takes me like 150 orbs at 8, 9, 10, 11% just to get one. I'm like, wow, okay, fine, whatever, be that way, jerk. I also want to note that I now have so many characters. I actually had to do a little bit of house cleaning because of how full my roster is getting. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of single characters, I'm like at like 285-ish. So that shows you how many characters are in Fire Emblem Heroes. I'm literally almost out of room, and I don't have doubles. I make sure to get rid of my doubles or merge them or use them for, you know...
Skill books.
Skills, whatever. Like Vantage, especially, because I keep getting long queues and Reinhardts, ironically enough. I literally just keep summoning them. But, you know, I have some of them, and I keep them for skill advantages, but I'm at like 280, 285 total with unique characters, so that's impressive.
Wow. Then also, I mean, I guess I also just got contributed to that as well, like, because
go ahead, I'm done. That's literally all I've been playing.
Yeah, that's sadly also what I've been also doing myself, and like, just also trying to get over this sickness of mine. But yeah, this morning when I like pulled those two sessions, like, okay, I got the first session, I got another Duma, which is, okay, Duma again, I don't mind. And then after I get that second session, like, okay, I'm really feeling it. And it's like, believe, you gotta believe. And then, lo and behold, I believe that it grant me. I actually need it, honestly, because since I have the full team of the Valentine's Almond Solica, and I got the legendary Almond Solica. So that's kind of a nice little set piece right there. And also, like, I guess this is a little brief thing as well, because as a Fae Pass subscribers, the new resplendent Cordelia, who currently dons Asgard armor, basically talks a little bit regarding to Sharina and Alphonse of how she actually enjoys being in the Order of Heroes and likes to be part of it. So just a little tidbit there. And I'm not sure if you guys have checked out already, but the next resplendent hero is actually going to be Ike, which is going to be donning the resplendent armor from Moosefell. So that's
going to be interesting. Monster, how dare you try and tempt me with Ike?
I mean, I know how much you guys love Ike. I mean, yes, you like Ike. So, like, it's kind of an interesting deal. Like, they're going to bring Ike of all times now. I mean, granted, he is the most popular character. And now we're heading to the next voting gauntlet, which is going to give us the new 5-star. Depending, and I'm still surprised that Edelgard actually got into it, which I don't need another Edelgard, guys. I don't need another Edelgard. So
it feels like years since they announced that voting gauntlet. Like, I wish that they had run it like 3 weeks ago, because voting ended like, I don't know, a week into February, right? And then they released the results like 2 weeks ago, and we still haven't had the voting gauntlet.
And I assume, like, again, what after the rolling, we're gonna get our choose your heroes banners pretty much right soon after. So, yeah, it's kind of strange of it, but I'm pretty sure they're just spacing it out, because again, right now with all the rogue sieges and all the Bodhi Bond events, I think they're just like spreading out the how much orbs you can get during this time period. So I guess they're just the scheduling out that way. But
they always do the choose your legends in September or late August.
Mm-mm-mm. So, but over from Faye, it's just gotten also quiet as well. I mean, I've also played a little bit of Overwatch on PS4 for the Mardi Gras skin for Ashe. So, but over from that, it has been generally quiet. It has been quiet for me myself.
I have been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses still on my final first run through of every route. So I'm about halfway done the Crimson Flower Edelgard path. But so along with the new DLC, they added the four Ashen Wolves to the main campaign, so you can use them now, and they have their own paralogues, and their paralogues are so hard. I have no idea, like. I guess intelligent systems didn't put the recommended, either they didn't put the correct recommended level, or as Todd told me before the podcast, I just need to get good because I've been ramming my head against the wall trying to figure out both Balthus and Happy's. And that one's, I think, maybe actually easier than the one I'm doing now. I don't know. It's tough to say. I didn't use Balthus or Happy, so having them be like level zero. Just kind of like trying to hide them in a corner somewhere safe, and that obviously makes it a lot harder. But Yuri and Constance, as I was doing right before this pod, and I thought that it would be fairly easy just looking at the map, but it's absolutely not. That being said, I do think that these chapters kind of make me feel like the next Fire Emblem game could be even better than Three Houses was, because they're a little more creative in their structure. In the first one, all of your army is kind of scattered about the city because you're looking for something, when you get ambushed, and then so you have to try to figure out, okay, one, how can I get everybody together, and then two, what's the best way to approach the reinforce. It's just a lot more strategy based on where you start. Even though I don't think it's perfectly balanced in at least on the maddening difficulty, I don't think it is. And then the same thing for Yuri and Constance is you have to reach this priest who's running away from some bandits, and the speed, like if you don't get to him right away, he'll probably survive, but a ton of demonic beasts will arrive. So you have to try to, like, if these enemies touch him, they transform into demonic beasts. So you have to try to get to him and kill the enemies before they can touch him, which is a really cool objective, and it obviously makes you approach the map differently and in various ways. Plus, with the flexibility of Three Houses' classes, you can really, you can fine-tune your team to take on the challenge. And I do wish that the main game had a little bit more of that. Right now, the main game is fairly basic in its map design, which I get. Like when you have the ability to have your army full of mages or full of mercenaries or whatever, you need to be able to beat every level regardless of how you structure your team. So I'm sure that they were kind of limited in that way. But I think that this kind of more objective-based gameplay is something I'd like to see more of in the future. It kind of harkens back to the older games, in a way, and I definitely appreciate that. But I'm really enjoying this playthrough. I'm actually planning out another playthrough with some challenges. I was going to do a Golden Deer run again, but I can only use one of each class at a time. So, like, I think Brigand is like an awesome class, and I figure, okay, I can only have one Brigand at a time, and I need to learn every single class, and one person needs to be every single class. So, I mean, outside of, like, once I'm at the end of the game, I don't need to have any intermediate classes running around, but it's forcing me to map out, okay, how am I going to teach each student, who's going to fit into what niche, and who has to do what because of just the limited, like, the gender classes. Like, I need a Gremory, so that means, which female is going to do that, and then does that open up a male to be something else. It's been just fun even theory crafting on that. So I'm probably not done playing Three Houses yet. I have another run through ahead of me.
I mean, the only thing I just have a little problem is regarding to how you pronounce it, Brigand. Brigand, really? It's Brigand. Like, it's English. It's
No,
proper,
it's
actually pronounced
Brigand.
English. It's
It's
Brigand.
Brigand. No,
Brigand.
no. No, no, no. I'm pretty sure it's Brigand.
You Brigand. You brute.
You're right. You're right. It is Brigand, but you know how I do. Sometimes I mispronounce things,
We
and
know. Oh, trust
Mario.
me. Mario.
Okay, well, that one I'm right on, but
No,
yeah,
you're not.
there are other ones that I've been wrong on.
Melee. Melee.
Yeah, like that one I'm right on as well.
Gosh.
And you know what? I think I'm right on all of them now that I think about it.
Oh, shut up.
But what I wasn't right on.
Yeah, I still haven't had, I've had no time to try Cindered Shadows, but I'm hoping after, I've got like the busiest 5 weeks of my life coming up. I got C2E2 this weekend, con next weekend, then a break, then another big con a couple weeks from now, then a con right after that, and then I have a break.
And so, you have a Kickstarter.
Right, and
yeah,
Kickstarter
I still got
too.
A Kickstarter going on, people not pledging. I'm like, you had one job! Support me! Anyway, but I'm hoping that once things calm down a little bit, I'll be able to finally jump into Cindered Shadows, because I've heard good things. I'm like, I've honestly seen like a lot of reviews just for Cindered Shadows, which it's crazy because it's DLC. But hey, whatever. If you want to review something, if you're that bored.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh boy. Speaking of boredom, how about that news leak?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I mean, we had some good things, I won't lie, but the rest of it was just like, you know, where's the big news? Where is the talking points? But we're going to do what we can, so it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first off, we're going to have a little bit of a breaking news moment. It is February 27th, 2020, and we still haven't had a Nintendo Direct. Will, play the clip.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Yes, because last week, we recorded definitively, epically, and repeatedly that Tyler Kelvaugh, our own Tellius Tyler, said that we would have a traditional Nintendo Direct this week, and you were wrong! Wrong!
Listen.
Wrong! Wrong!
I let everyone down. I admit
yes, you did.
I admit it. I let everyone down. I let myself down. I let you guys down. I let the listeners down. I just, you know, I had a feeling, and it didn't work out that way. But listen, you know, I was right the week before.
No, you weren't.
So technically, I think I'm 1 for 5 on predictions, which is right at that Mendoza line. So, you know, listen, hitting 200, you could
please.
Do worse. But I'm sure you're waiting for my prediction next week.
You already made it. Don't you
No. There's not going to be a Nintendo Direct next week. I give up. There's never going to be one. Listen, write this down. February 27th, 2020, Tellius Tyler says there will never, ever be another Nintendo Direct. They're done. We will never have another, and it's a shame, but I just, at this point, I don't know. There's just never going to be one.
And lo and behold, tomorrow when this podcast goes out, we're going to announce it right then and there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to do, a little reverse psychology.
Yeah, and I admire your effort in trying to sound wise by tricking Nintendo to reveal the Nintendo Direct for like Monday or Tuesday, but that ain't going to work. So... This is the longest drought in Nintendo Direct drought in history, outside of yes 1983 to 2010 or 14 or whatever, and it is like we at this point last year we already had a Nintendo Direct, so I don't know what they're waiting for. There is literally no reason to wait this long. I mean, I don't know if they're just saying, hey, well, why don't we just give like these game specific directs, which hey, to an extent. Sorry, to an extent, they were cool. Learning about the expansion pass, that was fun. Getting the Byleth video, that was fine. Learning more about Animal Crossing, I know a lot of people dug it. But we need to know what's coming in 2020, and we are now well less than a month away from Animal Crossing, and then after that, we have nothing. No release dates, none. So, a little help here, Nintendo. Little help.
Yeah, I remember when the year started, and we had the whole topic of... is Nintendo making a mistake with doing the Pokemon Direct for a normal Nintendo Direct? And I was like, you know, I thought no, and because the reason being they'll do one when it's ready. And like, I know that logic is still true. And like, obviously, if they did one in January, there would have been nothing because they clearly aren't ready. But it feels like it's just too long at this point. My patience has worn out. I just want to know what's coming in the Switch. I just want to know, even if it's like a bunch of name cards, I just want to know what the plans are.
It definitely feels like it has been 3,000 years since the last direct, and granted, we are starting to feel very fatigued from no news at all for this year, and yeah, unfortunately, we are starting to go at our limit right now. Granted, we are going to, some fans are growing much more crazier than others, but like, all we can do is just hold out, and here's hoping that March of the spring is new beginnings. So oh, here's hoping. Here's hoping.
It's like I just feel like, when the Nintendo Direct comes out, there's going to be like a whole bunch of Power Rangers gift. Ah, after 10,000 years, I'm free. It's time to conquer Earth. I was also going to do like a, Candy Field the Direct tonight, but I was afraid that was going to get like mixed messages, so I'm not going to do that. But yeah, we're suffering over here. There is no way around it. We are suffering without this Nintendo Direct. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Nintendo, but they need, if they don't do one before Animal Crossing comes out, that's bad. I'm just calling it. That's bad. I pray it doesn't take that long, but I also was hoping by mid-February to have a Nintendo Direct. So a true traditional Nintendo Direct. So, ugh. All right. Now let's talk about some slightly depressing news, slightly, and that is that Sakurai himself has confirmed that the upcoming Fighter Pass 2 for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is definitively the last DLC for Smash Bros. Ultimate. All right, like if you recall last week, we talked about how we thought this was a possibility, but the full translation had not come out. But now we do know, and here's the quote from Sakurai. Where was it? Oh, here we go. Just like before, we'll be bundling them together with stages and music. The party doesn't stop. Though we decided to make six more pieces of DLC, we do not have any plans to make more than that. My work on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate will come to a close once those six fighters have been distributed. So, there you go. Definitively, the next six fighters are the last ones.
I'm glad Sakurai is making this the last one. I like as much as we want like more characters, I think he clearly deserves this break. We're finally done, and again, this was his last I guess mission to the late Satoru Iwata, because again, this game was his project for and favor for him, so I think this will be a nice swan song for it. So heck, the last Ultimate game, let this be the legacy. I'll take it. I'll take it.
He actually commented on people noting that he doesn't get to do a lot. He goes, "I'm not stuck in a rut because I continue to work on the same title. Rather, I'm discovering new experiences in entertainment. For example, that means while I'm thinking about the progress of the Dragon Quest DLC, I'm thinking about how to reveal the SNK stuff in an effective way. This job, I tell you, there is really nothing like it. It's a job where I get to condense my experiences, knowledge, and studies of history of gaming in real time. It's an especially perfect fit for me. It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyways. It's truly an honor." End quote. So, now there is one thing that I do want to know, that you could take this or leave this as you will, but while talking about the upcoming DLC characters, the final six, he goes, quote, "And that's why these upcoming six fighters are going to be extravagant additions." End quote.
I did see it.
Extravagant.
Extravagant. Imagine the outrage at any first party character.
Okay, maybe not any, but like one that's maybe fresh. Like I would say Rex would definitely get that reaction, especially from a certain someone.
Oh yeah, Rex would be disappointing.
But like if it's like
I wouldn't be
Isaac from
toxic about it though.
Golden Sun, that would get a good reaction because people have been
True.
asking for him for years.
What if it was
Midna,
Choir Kids?
don't I would kill. I'll kill him. I'll kill you, Sakurai. I'm sorry. Why don't we just throw in Muk Rider? Why not? He's
Muk Rider, yeah,
sheesh.
that Muk Rider, that'd be an interesting addition.
There's not enough there. But or the
No, I know,
Elite
I
Beat
was trolling.
Agents. Yeah, let's just keep the party going. Yeah. Idiots.
Do you
No.
think there's gonna be a Gen 8 Pokemon? Because I think that would get a bad reaction if they did a
Well,
Gen 8
like
Pokemon.
always, it depends on the Pokemon, because Greninja got a great reaction.
Yeah, but I Greninja was a little bit different. Like the roster was smaller, and
True.
he was a day one. Like he was w with the launch of the game there. I think that with the DLC spot, it would be a little more contentious. I don't know. I don't think any Pokemon would do.
Yeah, and I would agree with that because, honestly, when I think about Gen 8, none of the starters feel like they're worthy of a Smash Brothers spot. I mean...
Yeah, agreed.
Well, Inteleon is too much like Greninja. It's an assassin versus a ninja. Cinderace could work because they could do something with like his fireball, like his fire kick attack or whatever it was called. And then
Rillaboom,
thank you. I always struggle with that one for whatever reason. Like that one I just don't think is good enough, like in both looks and because it's got the drum and the drum is part of his thing, and so he can't like keep lugging the drum around. So I don't know. The starters wouldn't work, and so it would have to be a legendary, but I don't think the legendaries would work here because of their composition. So I don't know. I don't think they can do a Gen 8 Pokemon, and none of them, like, there's no, like, definitive, this is the best Gen 8 Pokemon. We had that with Alola, with, like, Incineroar or Decidueye, Greninja, obviously, for Kalos. And, you know, certain other ones, obviously, but I don't think a Gen 8 Pokemon would work because there's just not one that really sticks out. They kind of played it safe.
Yeah,
in my
opinion. Agreed.
In my opinion. So, but yeah, I don't know, but it does make you wonder what he means by extravagant. Is he going like really deep into the history of video games again? Is he gonna, you know, give the people what they want and give us like Sora or something like that? We don't know. But there is one franchise that a lot of people have been asking about, and there is one franchise where the creator is like, dude, if you want us in Smash Brothers, we'll be there. And that is Mortal Kombat! Because Ed Boon himself was asked about the possibility of someone like Scorpion or Sub-Zero being in Ultimate via the DLC. And he goes, quote, "For me personally, I can't speak for all of Warner Brothers or anything. That would be kind of like a stamp of approval. It'd be like being part of the gang and all that stuff. I would love to see that." Quote, unquote. Now, he did note, stating specifically that Nintendo has not reached out, nor have they reached out to Nintendo about being in Smash Brothers, but should someone ask, they're open for it. Or at least Ed Boon is, and I would hope that Ed Boon carries a lot of weight because he freaking made the bloody thing. The very bloody, bloody thing. So, and we've talked about this, especially you, Will. Like, you've wondered if someone like Sub-Zero or Scorpion, or I mentioned Johnny Cage, but, you know, could they work in the Smash Brothers setting given that it's, you know, not bloody?
Right. And again, like, I'm pretty sure, because last remember, like, Mortal Kombat back in the day was heavily altered. I believe was heavily altered for the Nintendo consoles back in the day. So
true.
I won't see if they had to go and like, do some sacrifices, granted, because again, remember, Joker, I literally had to literally, with his final special, literally killed the Shadows with blood spurting. Instead of blood spurting, they had sparkles.
Yep.
And with Bayonetta, now that is Bayonetta. So it's, I mean, It's definitely a possibility. They can definitely work around some things, I can see.
I think one of the benefits is that the difference between Smash Bros. And Mortal Kombat from a gameplay perspective is the camera angle. Because Mortal Kombat is, you are right up close. You are watching these people beat each other to bloody heck. While in Smash Bros., especially like in four-person matches, the camera is farther away. So you could get away with some somewhat gruesome attacks because you're not really seeing it up close. They're not going to do the X-ray attacks, obviously, in Smash
right.
Brothers. And so even something like Scorpion's kunai, you know, get over here! You know, you could see it enter the person because it wouldn't be much different than, you know, Link's hookshot.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So there are ways you could skirt it. And obviously, like someone like Sub-Zero, it's no different than the Ice Climbers mixed with, you know, Ryu. So, you know, ice attacks and martial arts, that's not too much different. So there are ways they could play it. I just don't know if Nintendo would want to risk it. But then again, we have Snake and Bayonetta. So
yeah, it's different. Like, I'm picturing what you're saying with the kunai. And the thing is, those characters always feel so true to their universe. And would Mortal Kombat feel true if it wasn't more violent? And I don't know. I don't know if they'd want to have... Like, Link's hookshot grabs you.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, dig into you. Whereas the kunai obviously like spears into your gut, and you know that's I'm picturing Princess Peach being
technically
stabbed by Scorpion's kunai. I don't think it works.
Well,
know,
remember we are getting slashed. We got swords. We got guns. We're getting slashed. We're getting shot.
I know, fire emblem's not bloody.
Yeah, and technically, if you recall, Link's hookshot originally had a point. Like it evolved into the claw, like in Twilight Princess. But the original hook shots, including Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, it was pointed. It would bury itself in rocks.
Right, right. So, no, that's true. But in Smash 64, that was really the only time you saw that, and it was 64. You know, the graphics are very different. And I just, you know, Fire Emblem, yes, they're slashing people and literally killing people in that game. But there's no blood. It's very, you know, it's very light on the violence for a violent game.
And then, of
Mortal
course,
Kombat's not.
And then, of course, we have the ultimate elephant in the room. If they were to do Scorpion, what would his final smash be?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you burn them alive?
Right. Do you drag them to the depths of hell? And...
Yes. There you go. I actually, even though it would be scary, you could do that because we know that some of the final smashes are basically one hit KOs if you get hit. So all he would have to do is he would like do like a fire attack, like put a ring of fire around them or whatever. And like if you get caught in the ring of fire, enter a cutscene, Scorpion grabs your shoulders, you go down into the circle, he pops back up and you hear KO, you know, or something like that.
I mean, we have seen like little interpretations of hell here and there. I mean, I'm looking at a Planet Zeep crate back in that stage, with that big spinning stage. So they could possibly do that.
We're getting pigeonholed into Scorpion though. I don't know, maybe I do think Sub-Zero might work better.
Yeah. Sub-Zero would be safer.
And I think Sonya Blade would work great, like, because Snake works. I think Sonya would work. She uses energy beams and some of her attacks.
How about Katana? Like, with her fans? That'd be a totally
different
kind of weapon.
I would love that. Katana's my Mortal Kombat main. Fans are quite violent.
Yeah.
They could work. Yeah. And better than Scorpion, that's for sure. Yeah.
Raiden could be another one, you know, like the human Pikachu.
Yeah, Raiden's good. Yeah, right. You know what? It is doable. I don't think Scorpion works.
No.
But there are some characters that could work. The reason I thought of Sonya was because there's not a lot of female DLC characters right now. Like, Byleth being a skin, I think, is the only female DLC.
Oh my gosh, right. There hasn't been a pure female DLC character. Huh.
Yeah. So that makes me think Sonya might work, but,
there's a lot of possibilities. But obviously, as Sakurai also noted in the Famitsu article, the choices have already been made. He doesn't have a say at who gets picked. He does have a say who doesn't get picked at times because of whether he feels that they'll work in Smash Brothers, which, as we all know, is why Bayonetta almost didn't get into the game. But we'll just have to see. And hopefully, should that Nintendo Direct ever arrive, we find out who the first DLC character is, because we're waiting.
It's never going to arrive.
It's never coming.
Bad news.
It's like, here we are at episode 1022 of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. It's been so long, but the Nintendo Direct has arrived. I didn't even know Nintendo was alive anymore.
Yeah, me last week, I felt like Constance from Three Houses when she's in the shade. Just real energetic and fired up. And then in the sunlight this week, it's just, no, it's never going to happen. Nintendo Directs are extinct.
We're all gonna die. Gosh. Oh, boy. All right, let's get to slightly more positive news, shall we? Wonderful 101.
Woo!
Yeah. And
no such thing as positive Wonderful 101 news.
Oh,
sorry.
You can be happy for the team, even if you don't like the game.
Yeah, that's true.
So, their Kickstarter, obviously, is, I believe, it's still going, right, Will?
We still have 8 days at the time of recording.
There you go. Yes,
we still have
8 days. It's still going strong, still well above its goal. Good for them. And then they have announced the release date of Wonderful 101 Remastered on Switch, PS4, and PC, right, Will?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
All right, what is the date again?
Generally, all the locations are is going to be releasing at the end of May, and in Japan at the beginning of June. So majority of territories are going to be released in May. And I believe the Kickstarter, people who Kickstarter will get the copies earlier. So that's my belief.
Obviously. So I think that's actually rather impressive because you'd think that it would take at least the rest of the year-ish to remaster the game. And yet like, they're not even done with the Kickstarter. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to be done in May.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that say about the remastering process?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question to bring up because, like, one itself, like, it's already a complete product. It's just basically about the porting job to the new consoles. So that's the thing. Definitely a good question to ask. So, but I mean, right now there is playable builds currently happening right now at PAX. And is there gonna be any game stations at C2E2? That's all.
Not to my knowledge, but then again, I've been busy, so I haven't been able to check.
Okay. So yeah, there are currently playable builds of it right now. So, like, we need to see like the previews of it right now. But so far, I think they have a solid product in there, and I think that's the reason why they released it so pretty close to the year, so mid year. So yeah.
And then the other big news from Platinum Games is that they have announced their next project, which is their first fully indie project, which they're calling Project Agogo, I believe.
Project GG, a go
Yeah.
Project GG, a go-go in their trailer, yes. And ha you seen the trailer, Todd?
I have not, but I know you were excited about it for some reason, so go ahead and take it away.
So if you haven't checked that out already, Platinum released a teaser trailer regarding to their newest project, Project GG, and they also ended up Project GG, a go-go. And so, as you know, like Agogo is a clear throwback to Beautiful Joe, which is Henshin Agogo Baby, which I love that show as well. And but it doesn't seem to show anything remotely to Beautiful Joe because one, it is owned by Capcom, and who knows if they were willing to play or not. But basically, the trailer showed off a whole lot of kaiju battering. Think of it as Ultraman and facing off against like giant monsters. It's very kaiju Ultraman esque, like very, it's very Japanese, and of course, as you know, Hideki Kamiya, whatever he touches is just downright bonkers.
Yeah.
Whatever he touches, so it's the trailer itself is definitely a lot of hype to think about, like the concept ideas. Like, okay, are we actually gonna do a full fledged Ultraman Tiga video game, actually do it proper justice, or some similar sort, like a brawler or thing? Because they have dabbled in brawlers, like with Anarchy Reigns and Mad World, so. I don't know. It's definitely something to get excited about because Platinum Games, as you know, Platinum Games, they generally do very good work, and see this as like their, as you said, their first indie title that actually I believe they've said will be doing maybe self-publishing. I'm sure, and they check out that detail. But this project helmed by Kamiya is it's definitely shows some promise. And I just can't wait to hear more. Hopefully, this coming E3 that we'll probably get more teaser image of some sort. That I'm excited for.
Yeah, and like this has actually been like a goal for Platinum for some time because while they've enjoyed their time with Nintendo for sure, they of course had some interesting experiences with Microsoft, and they've just been dreaming of becoming more and more independent now that they've had like multiple hits since the shutting down of Scalebound between Nier Automata and Astral Chain, which we know made over 1 million. And certain other than everyone typed for Bayonetta 3, so this is their chance to finally be indie, and they love that. And I'm happy for them. I am happy that they were are able to do this, and it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting. And apparently, they announced a new studio in Tokyo.
Oh,
Yeah, because if you
all right.
remember, they were doing like the Platinum 4 announcements. One was Beautiful Joe, or sorry, one was Wonderful 101. The second is Project Agogo, and apparently this third one, which I'm just looking at now, is a new studio that they're opening up in Tokyo. Yeah.
Right, and they only teased the image of the number 4, which a lot of speculation is basically going, is it going to be DragonGuard 4? Is it maybe Nier Automata sequel? Like, there's a lot of speculation regarding to what this thing is, what that just a singular 4, like the fourth game in a certain series.
It's
Are they
a
already?
Who knows?
really, really, really early announcement for Bayonetta 4. That's
Yeah,
what
I was
it
literally about to say, are they already going to announce Bayonetta 4 even though they're not
is.
even ready for 3 yet? Oh my gosh, the foresight!
And yeah, I guess like that also brings up a good point as well because yeah, during the same like all this whole press conference, Kamiya has given updated like that the production of Bayonetta 3 is going smoothly, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So like, hope here's hoping that we get something, Kamiya. I mean, as much as you blocked me before, please release something at least, please.
It's like we've heard your we've heard these words before, Kamiya. We have heard them before. All right. Well, we'll keep you updated on that. So next up, let's talk Animal Crossing really quick because there are people still kind of unsure about how they feel about Animal Crossing, and especially with the cloud save or the lack of cloud saving and the rejiggering of the save data. Because as Will noted last week, there is fine print in the what was it again, Will?
In the Animal Crossing Direct, yeah, in the Direct itself.
Yeah, it says like you can revive your save data once. And then they put that on the website, and people found out about it. They're not exactly happy, so they actually removed it. So yeah, take that as you will. And then even our dear Cromcho, who we wish well, of course, who she for was talking for months with me about how she wanted Animal Crossing. She couldn't wait for Animal Crossing, and then she found out about the one island situation and the lack of cloud saving, and she's apparently not going to get it now because she doesn't want to risk, doing so much on the island and losing it. So Nintendo's got what 20 some odd days to fix this save situation before they lose out on potentially a lot of buyers and potentially critical ridicule. So get to work.
Yeah, they're
Right,
not going to fix it.
Hey, we said that about Mario Maker too, and they fixed that.
That one, no, we didn't say they weren't going to fix that one. This is a little different. I feel like this is more like that was like improving something that was already there. I don't know. This one feels a little more deep rooted to me. This one seems like something Nintendo doesn't fix. You know, there's no science behind it. This one to me just feels like something Nintendo doesn't fix.
Interesting. All right. Well, I was kind of expecting you guys to do something more with that, but fine. All right, moving on. We have okay. This one's for Tyler. Sonic movie.
He was really good. I don't know if I told you guys that, but it was great.
Well, it's hilarious
Great
because after
movie.
the podcast the next day, I watched the Death Battle cast, and Ben Singer, who plays Wiz, is a big Sonic fan like you, and he didn't have the same feelings at all. He said it was okay. He said it was, very much a kid's movie.
It
He
was.
blasted James Marsden because, like, what was the point of his character? He did say that Jim Carrey was awesome, though, so you two do agree on that. But anyway, there was a lot of questions about the movie in the large scale of things, and it actually, and this is hilarious because we were ridiculing them because we felt at one point in time they didn't respect Sonic and his history. But if you watch the movie, you'll know that outside of a few things, they don't really show Sonic's world. They show the ring portals, they show the Echidnas, they show a certain tailed hero, someone with a tale to tell. Yeah. I was going to make a Miles Prower joke, but I'm not going to now. But anyway, so yeah, we see Tails at the very, very end of the mid-credits sequence, and then Robotnik becoming Robotnik. But we obviously don't see Knuckles. And a lot of people were wondering why Knuckles wasn't in there, why Tails was at the very end of the movie. And according to the director, this is because in the very first Sonic game, neither Tails nor Knuckles is there.
Yeah, no, I mean that makes a lot of sense to me. I do hope that they don't bring, I hope that for the sequel they don't flood it with too many characters,
I agree with that.
because I actually to your point about what Ben Singer said, I didn't mind James Marsden's character. The movie was definitely at its best when it was Sonic versus Robotnik, and adding Tails in is awesome. I love Tails. He's a great character. I think that in the adventure games, Tails actually kind of drives the story in a lot of ways. He's definitely the character with the most growth, that's for sure. So there's a lot that they could do with a Sonic and Tails movie, and Knuckles is great for sure. But I hope that they don't, start really bringing in the entire Knuckles would be cool. I would like to see Knuckles in the movie, and based on what happens in the early part of the movie, I do think that Knuckles will be involved. But if they could just keep it at those two, that would be great. No need to wait till a third movie to bring in Knuckles because he wasn't in Sonic 2 either.
No, he wasn't. I was
But
about to mention that because Sonic 2 is where Tails got introduced, and then Sonic 3, I guess, is where Knuckles got introduced. So
yeah.
I just thought it was interesting because he's like, I wanted to make sure I established that this is about Sonic versus Robotnik without weighing it down with too many of the other classic characters because that they weren't in the first game. And I'm like, that's actually kind of a neat way of looking at it because that's respecting Sonic history while obviously teasing it at the end with the arrival of Tails. So,
Completely agreed.
yeah.
I think the important thing to note with the arrival of Tails is just how true to Tails in the games, he was. Because Sonic, he captured the Sonic vibe. Like, it was totally recognizable. I loved this version of Sonic, but it was not Sonic from the games. Tails was Tails from the games. He comes in with a machine that looks like straight out of Sonic Colors, like reading for Sonic's energy, and it's the same voice actress who plays Tails. Like, it was Tails to a T. So we might be seeing the sequel shift closer towards more traditional Sonic storytelling, which I think would be great. I would love that as a fan. But yes, I hope that as they do that, they don't run into the same problems that Sega did with overdoing it with characters and kind of bogging down the messaging.
Yeah, and on that note, Sonic the Hedgehog the movie has gotten over $200 million at the box office. So that and it was actually projected to lose to the new Disney movie Call of the Wild, which got lambasted in the critical view. But Sonic raced ahead.
Also in related news as well, like, have you heard that actually Dwayne The Rock Johnson is possibly maybe going to be in the sequel because of this cameo?
The Rock President, it would be amazing.
Yeah. And also, the director did note that they did have an idea for Super Sonic in the first movie, but obviously they didn't want to weigh it down with all that lore, so maybe number two is about the Chaos Emeralds.
Yes,
we'll see.
They need Super Sonic. I was reflecting upon this the other day. I was like, you know, the one thing the movie was missing was Super Sonic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, two needs to have it.
Well, it's just like I said, I think it was like a couple weeks ago, about the Street Fighter movie. You know, you don't need to weigh it down with everything. You just need to enforce what Street Fighter is about. Like Akuma, everybody thinks about Street Fighter, you think about Akuma. I would not, if I was directing the Street Fighter movie, I would have Akuma be the end credit sequence, you know, because I'm like, okay, there's your big bag for number two. And that's the same way I think that they went with Sonic, because it's like, well, we could have Tails, we could have Knuckles, we could have the Chaos Emeralds, we could have Shadow, we could have Robotnik, we could have Omega, you know, it's just like, but how much can you fit in one movie without it becoming overloaded? How many movies do we know that have been overloaded because they try too hard?
Oh, so many. But no, totally right. You're totally right. And thinking about that movie, there was no room for Super Sonic. There wasn't.
Yeah.
It would have had to be a different movie. But I love Super Sonic so much, and I think that Sega kind of started to forget about Super Sonic, which is, I just don't understand at all, but I think in Sonic Forces it's like an award for getting all the red rings, and Sonic Colors it might be the same thing. I know in Generations you can only be Super Sonic after you beat the game, I think. So Super Sonic is such a vital part of the series. He's so cool. He's so much fun to play as. I want that in the sequel.
It could be. I mean, if Robotnik's going to Sonic's world, then he's likely going to find out about the Chaos Emeralds and try and collect them and all that. So, you never know. Never know. But sequel is looking more and more likely with every week.
And again, just to see Jim Carrey again as proper form Robotnik, and of course Dr. Stone, like Dr. Stone, and literally two Dr. Stones, one literally a stone and another Dr. Stone. I don't know. I really do like that chemistry between Jim Carrey and him. So I don't know. I just kind of love that. And who knows? Maybe we'll get that sentient comedic robots that Sonic is known for. Robotnik. So who knows? Who knows?
Well, we shall see. We shall see. All right. Stop it. And finally, it's Pokemon Day, apparently. Yes, it is officially the 24th anniversary of Pokemon's birth in Japan via Pokemon Red and Green. Not Blue. Blue is America. Did we ever find out why that was exactly?
I don't really. Because I know back in the day I did see the original Japanese Red and Green. I don't know why is it that Blue is only here on this side.
Yeah.
It's always been a mystery for me.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like, is blue just more popular in America? I don't know, because it was, you know, green clearly in Japan, and obviously it's not that big of a difference. You know, it's just like, you know, who's on the cover, you know, what the title name is. We all know Pokemon games don't differ that much in content, but it's just like, it was really weird. That's like, you know, it's green in Japan and then blue in America. It's weird. Whatever. And then, of course, they made Fire Red and Leaf Green as a reference to the original. So, anyway. But yes, it is Pokemon Day, and the Pokemon Company has absolutely lived up to the hype of doing a whole bunch of various things for the franchise in their 24th anniversary. For example, If you go to Pokemon Sword and Shield, you will find that in the Max Raid battles, there is now Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Charmander that you can beat and catch. And then there's this guy named Mewtwo who wants to kill you. Yeah, no, not literally, but he is a level 100 Max Raid battle. And while you can't catch him, which is a cop-out, you can beat him and get, like, some really special rewards. So, but again, he's level 100, so you better be ready. Everybody dies. So, I mean, I had trouble with, like, a level whatever Lapras who somehow knew only rock moves, even though it's a wire type. But, you know, so imagine Mewtwo at level 100 power. It's just like, oh boy. And then they had a special poll about what was the Pokemon of the year, and it was Greninja.
I mean, again, Greninja is a ninja frog. So, yeah, a ninja frog. So
yeah,
it's
I guess.
Not bad. And plus, so with there's, the Detective Pikachu movie. So yeah, there's that.
There's some special stuff going on in Pokemon Go, which I know excites Tyler. And kidding. And then, of course, there is a brand new mythical Pokemon coming to the game called Zarude, I believe it is. It's either that or Zarude, which I would hope that they would go with the more elongated Zarude. But he is the rogue monkey Pokemon. Interesting name. He is a black. Sorry, he is a dark and grass type, and he has the ability to shoot vines out of his hands, his neck, and his back. Okay. So, yeah, this looks like a demon monkey. Like, everyone's acknowledging this looks like a freaking demon monkey.
It's because the way you're describing it, it sounds like a very messed up version of Spider-Man in a way.
Well, Spider-Man's, you know, spider and a man. This is a monkey. So... But apparently, according to the lore, it lives in a forest in the central area of Galar, and it lives in a pack. And if you come anywhere near this pack, it will attack you relentlessly with sharp claws. And yeah, it's apparently not only strong and crazy, but it's smart. So it will know how to get to you. So, mythical Pokemon, everybody!
And you thought Pokemon was a kid's game.
What was that, Tyler?
I'm not crazy about Zarude's whatever's design.
Yeah.
It's just a little too feral for me.
it's too feral for you? Oh, that's rich. So, all right, but okay, though we do not know when the Pokemon is coming exactly. I bet you it's going to be released near the expansion pass to help build up hype for the game even more. So we'll see, because of course the first expansion pass comes in June, which is probably where we're going to get the Nintendo Direct. Hi-yo!
And also, Todd, you also mentioned we're going to the other Pokemon mobile game that you meant besides Pokemon Go.
Masters?
What
about
it?
We already talked about Oak.
Oh, no, not Oak. There's actually a new trailer. It's Red, Blue, and Green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, and for all that haven't seen it yet, there is a new trailer that's celebrating the six-month celebration of Pokemon Masters. And this time, they actually showed off I think, 8 of Charmander. But this time around, they showed off the trailers you can get during Scouts. And this time, Red, Blue, and Green. And there was this one trailer, which Red with Charizard facing off against Professor Oak with Mew, which... I'm not sure about you guys, but seeing those redesigns of Red, Blue, and Green is just like, I don't know, it even makes me a little bit excited because, like, yeah, Green with Venusaur, Blue with Blastoise, Red with Charizard, and them going Mega Forms on that challenge, like, apparently it's going to be, like, the tip-top challenge in that game, which, I don't know, if you haven't played Masters yet and save all those crystals, maybe it's about time you get back into it, which, I don't know, the designs look very nice if you haven't checked.
All right, so with that, we're going to head into our main event. And since it is Pokemon Day, we decided let's have a Pokemon main event. So Pokemon has now spanned 8 generations and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of Pokemon. And so what we're going to do is a challenge. We're going to do a team of 6 that you can pick from any generation. You can pick one from whatever generation you want. Get a team of 6 that you would take with you into the Pokemon League. So we're going to debate which teams we have and which one's in the best, because it's time to settle it in Smash. Tyler, I want you to go first, because I have a feeling you're going to have an interesting team. So, six Pokemon to challenge the Pokemon League of any generation, any evolution. Who do you got?
Okay, well, this is a tricky list to assemble here.
This is true.
You know the man I'm leading off with. It's Alolan Ninetales, the Ice Fairy type.
Of course.
Coming in and just blast full of some blizzards. Aura Veil to keep our team protected. I have to have that Pokemon in. That's definitely just the core of all of my Pokemon teams is Alolan Ninetales. I'm also going to put in Alolan Raichu because the electric. I like the speed with my Pokemon. Generally, I'm looking for a faster team that can just kind of let me attack first. I like the psychic damage that I'm getting from Alolan Raichu, and he's surfing on his tail. That's just extremely cool. I need a fluffy creature on my squad as well, so I'm going with Arcanine for the fire type, just because, if you're ranking the fire types, there's Ninetales, then there's Arcanine, and then there's everybody else. Although I suppose Charizard is sweet as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say, although he's not my favorite from Gen 6, I'm going to put Greninja on this squad as well, Pokemon of the Year. I do like Delphox more, but because I already have a fire type in Arcanine and I already have some psychic damage at Alolan Raichu, I'm going to have to get Greninja in there. My dragon type and ground type, Garchomp.
Ooh, good
wish
choice.
Was in Sword and Shield. Shout out to Cynthia, my favorite trainer. so we have to kind of represent her in that way. And just the damage that you can get Garchomp is second to none. He is so powerful. Earthquake is a ridiculously great move that I need to have in there. And then the final spot is a difficult one for me to. It's a difficult one for me to fill. I think I have to go with a grass type here, so I'm gonna put the Decidueye in, even though I know he's not an incredibly strong Pokemon. I love everything about the Decidueye. I think his design is one of the coolest. The ghost damage is great. It adds an element of coolness that my team sorely lacks. Garchomp is cool, but outside of that, we've gone mostly grace over style, and I have to put the a little bit of edge in my squad, and that's where Decidueye comes into play.
Oh.
All right. Yeah, so just to recap, we have Garchomp, we have Alolan Ninetales, we have Arcanine, we have Alolan Raichu, we have Decidueye, and we have Greninja.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
All right.
Interesting.
Not bad.
Alright, mm-hmm. Will, how about you?
Mine is much more limited to the earlier generations, since, like, again, you people have gone to these nice new designs and having fossils and inanimate objects. Pokemon.
What do
now.
You mean, you people?
So for me, like, I do have an interesting choice. For the first one is pretty much not really a surprise. Is the icon of Pokemon Pikachu, because one, I just love having that little lovable rat along. I mean, again, since Pokemon, it's always been a nice little thing. For second one, I really grown a lot more appreciation with, especially with the new anime Pokemon shorts, Corviknight. Like,
oh, that's good pick.
That, like, the fact that it can also run a taxi service, like, that's pretty amazing as it is. They actually can carry a little taxi box to you. But, like, and also just the battle-wise, like, he's just so sleek. Literally just a black crow, but I don't know, he's just like, he's so imposing. At the same time, he can really deal it out. So, yeah, Corviknight is always, I like. The next one, I've been thinking in regards to my whole water type, and I'm going to have to go with Septillion on this one, just because, yeah, it's just, evolution of Sabo, just that little good cute cry baby. And yes, I will offend that baby, do not at me. And just,
Tyler will.
The final.
Tyler will. Tyler will at you to infinity.
And yeah, just that final form of the mega, like once the new expansion comes out, just have that sniper tower. Like, yes, I have a sniper tower. Like, you can't say otherwise. Sure, you got the sun. Sure, you got big drums, but I got a gun. That's more than enough. A water gun. But yeah, I digress. For my next one, it's much more based on Generation 1, and this is just reminiscent of back in my earlier days of playing Pokemon Blue. And for me, I just gotta go with Venusaur on this one. Like, even back on Pokemon Stadium, I always resonated with Bulbasaur, and ever since I, like, max him out to the points, it's just, I don't know, like, he's a very good standard type that I've grown to love, and I just can't put him away. I mean, Bulbasaur, Ivysaur, then Venusaur is just, like, of course, Solar Beam is, yeah, it's just a good choice. I feel like you just can't go wrong with Bulbasaur, and of course, eventually Venusaur. The next choice, it's kind of a bit of a cop-out as well, but I'm going to go with Charizard on this one just because, like, one, he has, like, I'm not sure when was the last time I checked on eBay, like, the Charizard card itself was, like, fetching a high price, so, and now with the whole recent reemergence, like, when all else fails, just bring out a Charizard and then you'll pretty much win the battle, which I think it arguably probably one of the most broken Pokemon, maybe, in the culture. I don't know. I haven't seen the forms, but yeah, Charizard is definitely... Again, a very good, another good one starter that you can't go wrong. My last one is, I was surprised you haven't mentioned this one, Tyler, but me, like, since actually the Netflix film just came out, the remake of it, I'm going to have to go with Mewtwo on this one.
Cop out! Kidding.
I mean, Mewtwo, he's interesting first for me, but I mean, aside the fact, like, one, he is the quote-unquote the most powerful Pokemon out there, most powerful psychic, and I just remember back in Pokemon Stadium days, I just basically spammed, like, psychics, like, psychic ball, recover, it's just, like, it brings, I don't, it really tickles my fancy back in the Pokemon Stadium days when I used Mew, and during that whole transfer pack back in the day of the N64, so yeah, Mewtwo. Yeah, Mewtwo is just Mewtwo. He's awesome. Plus with Detective Pikachu, maybe he's awesome. So yeah. So again, recap is Pikachu, Corviknight, Septillion, Venusaur, Charizard, and Mewtwo. So yes, yeah, a bit more on the Gen 1 side. So forgive me if I'm old fashioned.
Yeah, you old will. We know. Alright, before I start with this list, I want to reemphasize one thing, and that because there are so many Pokemon, we could change these lists, like, so many times. Like, I was thinking about my six, and I replaced already two or three just because of, if I had to go to the war with these Pokemon, I knew who I wanted to pick. So, number one, I know it's a little bit of an off-ball pick, but roll with me on this, it's Caterpie. Alright, I mean, he was one of
great
Ash's...
Great choice, Todd, great choice.
He was one of Ash's first Pokemon. I mean, he beat a flying type with String Shot. That's not supposed to happen, so clearly there's something right about this Caterpie. All right, pick number two is Magikarp.
Good and choice. I like it.
Okay, I kid. Now, real talk, my number one choice is honestly one of my favorite Pokemon ever, and that's Ampharos. I don't know why I like Ampharos so much. I legit don't. I got Mareep when we got Gen 2, and I evolved it up, and there was just something about it. I don't know if it was because of the Jasmine storyline with the gym leader and all that, or just how it looked or sounded or whatever, or its moveset, but it just resonated with me, so I've always liked Ampharos. And that, of course, covers my electric types, but also can learn some steel-type moves because of like Iron Tail, so that's really cool. Number two is my favorite fire starter ever, and that is Typhlosion. So yeah, I'm sticking with Johto for a little bit. I've always liked Typhlosion. I've always loved Cyndaquil. I mean, Charizard is great, you know. What was Tepig's final one? Embor, there we go. And you know, Cinderace and Blaziken, you know, they're all good, but a lot of them are like really kind of cheap cop-outs, because I mean, how many of them are fire and fighting type? I mean, come on. And Delphox was cool enough, but, you know, not really. But Typhlosion was just, like, raw firepower, and I loved that. So he is my number one. Number two. Number three, I'm totally copping out here. I'm going Darkrai.
Darkrai is a good choice.
Okay, Darkrai is scary. Darkrai is powerful. Darkrai has one of the best movies of the entire Pokemon franchise, and I've always liked him. He is a boss. Love him so. I mean, he held Dialga and Palkia on his own. Just stopped them dead. Because this garden is for everyone. If you remember the movie, you'll get that reference. So yeah, that was really cool for me. Number four, Gaigo Dragons. And this one was tricky because I could have gone a lot of dragons, but I decided to choose Salamence. Honestly, it was either Salamence or Flygon, but there's just something about this. Salamence is a pure dragon, and Charizard, for record, is not a dragon type. He is a fire and flying type. Look it up. It's in the Pokedex. But, you know, there's just something about the look of Salamence, the intensity of Salamence, and it's blue, so, you know, that helps. And sometimes you just want to... So everyone needs a dragon. Everyone needs a dragon. Pete had a dragon. I need a dragon. All right. Does anyone get that reference? Please?
No.
Pete's dragon?
Dragon?
Pete's dragon. Disney.
Damn, that's an old thing.
Oh man. God. I'm 30. I'm not that. Oh, never mind. All right. Fifth Pokemon. I got to go for my original starter. In my opinion, one of the best starters ever, Blastoise. You know, he's the turtle cannon, the tank turtle, whatever you want to call him. But he is a boss. He is heavy. He's got those guns that'll hydro pump you into oblivion. And I've loved him. He was my first Pokemon I ever saw, period. He was on Pokemon Blue, and I was like, you're my Pokemon. I found out it was Squirtle. I'm like, okay, I will wait to get to you. Not regretted it since. When Black and White came out and you could get the two Pokemon, I made sure I got Squirtle so I could get my Blastoise again. And even though it was Gary/Blue's Pokemon in, you know, the cartoon and the anime, it didn't matter to me. Blastoise was still boss. I love him so. Now, my final Pokemon, still kind of a cop-out, but I don't care. There was a Pokemon movie that was this major premiere. This is all the way back in Kids WB, which, yes, I know makes me old. But it was when Kids WB was around, and they got the premiere of this Pokemon movie. And they hyped it up so much. I mean, they dedicated, like, a whole Saturday morning to this show. And when I watched it, I swear I was watching what I felt was like an Oscar movie. Now, looking back, like, if I was to define it, it was like an Oscar-style Pokemon movie. And the main Pokemon, I could have picked two of the Pokemon from this movie, but I'm only going to go with one. I am picking Deoxys. All right. Destiny Deoxys was the best Pokemon movie. I maintain that to this day. The battle between Deoxys and Rayquaza, who I really wanted to put in my list, but I didn't want to have three legendary Pokemon. Because if I have Deoxys, Rayquaza, and Darkrai, no one's beating me. All right, I don't care about your Mewtwo, who I actually did have on my list, but I swapped him out for Deoxys. I don't care about your Mewtwo or your Mew. If I have Darkrai, Rayquaza, and Deoxys, you lose.
Yeah, I have to channel the power of God and time. Sure.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, but I love Deoxys because A, it's just such a unique looking Pokemon. I mean, it's based on DNA, and so it's got, like, it's got an attack form, it's got a defense form, it's got its, you know, basic form, and this is a Pokemon you don't want to F with. Rayquaza is a boss, and Rayquaza was losing to Deoxys at times. He had to pull a cheap shot to try and kill this thing, and he still didn't get the job done. He only got it down to his crystal. So, if Rayquaza, like one of the best dragons ever, can't defeat this thing, you need him on your team. And when we got the Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire games, and they did the cutscene for Deoxys coming into the game, and I finally got to catch Deoxys, I just felt so happy. Pretty sure I cried. But, yeah, so if I can go any generation, any kind of Pokemon, I gotta have Deoxys on my team. So, for recap, I have Ampharos, Typhlosion, Darkrai, Deoxys, Salamence, and Blastoise.
None of us picked Lucario, which was surprising.
Oh, Lucario!
Because Lucario,
yeah,
is very popular.
Well, it's just like I said, you could, if I was to do non-legendaries, like, I would have swapped Deoxys for Espeon, because I love my Espeon. I probably would put Darkrai with, like, Dusclops or Dusknoir. Like, but Lucario, he would have been another one because he's a boss, too. See, there's so many Pokemon, and we have to pick six? Come on!
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, if I do have to go take no legendaries, I probably would just swap out Mewtwo with Eevee just because of your boy. That's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler, you didn't have any legendaries at all.
I didn't. I usually just avoid legendaries. I don't know. There's none that I really like that much.
Really? Not
yeah.
One.
Oh.
Legendary yeah, birds, legendary dogs.
I mean, I like Articuno well enough, but I feel like in the newer games especially, he kind of looks a little dopey. I feel like Suicune, I like a lot.
Oh,
I like the dogs.
I would have put
I like
Suicune.
Legendary dogs.
Suicune's another I would have swapped in. Love Suicune.
Yeah. And I do like Lunala, looked pretty cool. Solgaleo is all right.
Yeah. I liked Meloetta because of the arc in the anime. Like, that was a really great arc.
Yeah.
And so I really liked Meloetta because of that. But, yeah, there's just so many Pokemon. And obviously, I could have totally put, like, Greninja in my team because I love that. That's just, again, also because of the anime, especially Ash Greninja. So, who somehow lost to a Charizard.
Yeah, that's questionable.
Yeah, he totally beat a Mega Sceptile, you know, the type he's weak against, but he can't beat a Fire-type Pokemon. You know what we call that? Plot armor! Stupid mother... No, never mind. And that was the final battle for the league, too, so apparently we can't have him win in Kalos, we have to have him win in Alola. So, oh!
With a team that's far worse.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I wanted to mention this. The Pokemon League in Alola, the episodes, the arc, has just wrapped up, and if you get the chance to watch Ash versus Kukui in what they call the exhibition match, it is, my gosh, so dang beautiful. Like, and I don't even mean like just in storytelling, but like visually. They go all out for this one. I mean, there is plot into it, like a really epic battle between Torracat and Incineroar, which ends hilariously. And then you got Melmetal being like a steroid-ridden boss, and it's really hilarious to watch. I mean, seriously, it's crazy. And then, just a slight spoiler for you, then they have Tapu Koko come in and say, I'm going to be your Pokemon Kakui for one match so I can go fight Ash. And how I won't spoil how it ends, but they pulled the biggest Deus Ex Machina I have ever seen in Pokemon. And I've seen a lot. But they pull one out for Tapu Koko, and it is so boss to watch how that sequence ends. I mean, Pokemon at one time, especially in Gen 5, I've noted this on the podcast before, like they were terrible in their battles, their depiction of Ash. And then, but with this battle especially, they paid tribute to Pokemon like the most beautiful way, and especially Ash and Pikachu. And so if you get, it's like three episodes, so if you get a chance to watch all three episodes of the battle, go watch it. You will not be disappointed. It's awesome. So, and that's a perfect capper on Pokemon Day. And so do let us know, of course, who are your favorite Pokemon, what are your favorite Pokemon games, what are your favorite Pokemon memories. We could have done a whole episode on that, but do let us know, because you know, we're happy that Pokemon's 24 years old. We're looking forward to the expansion pass. I'm looking forward to the next season series of Pokemon, because apparently Ash catches some really interesting Pokemon for his team, and I'm like, it's about time. Like, I can't avoid the spoilers because of the sites I'm on, but like, he's already caught some Pokemon. I'm like, you couldn't catch that three seasons ago, but whatever. So go and enjoy Pokemon, and everybody, like, go play Pokemon. That's the best way to celebrate Pokemon Day. Go play Pokemon over the weekend. Just go enjoy yourselves. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you if you consider the Animal Crossing Direct a Nintendo Direct. So I guess the question really, do you consider that it broke the drought? And 46% of you said yes, and 54% of you said no.
Nope, you lose.
Well,
you lose! Good day, sir!
So I voted no, because I don't think it broke. But I mean, what I was promising was any sort of, you know, the Animal Crossing Direct didn't count in what I was trying to, you know, imply when I said there would be a direct. Obviously.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
so,
you know, unfortunately, as we've said, there will never be another Nintendo
there
Direct.
There will never
it's
be
over.
A Nintendo Direct. Tomorrow, hey, we're going to have a Nintendo Direct on Monday. They live!
I'm getting the feeling since this is going to be the leap, that extra day, I feel like they may do something similar, but who knows? Like, Nintendo's Nintendo. We don't really know.
I don't know what to expect, so let's just roll with it. Do we want to have like a Pokemon themed poll question for Pokemon Day?
You know what? We can ask people if they're excited about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. That comes out in a few days.
Okay, sure.
Oh, sure. I'll pick one. Sure.
To honor, make sure you have Pokemon Day in there,
Of course.
hashtag. But, you know, are you excited for the next Pokemon game in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX for the Switch?
And actually, have you guys actually tried the demo? Because
No, I have
I
not. I
did
haven't
talk
had
about it.
time.
I still can't believe I'm a Psyduck in that game, apparently.
Hi. All right, so with that, we're gonna episode this episode. Do let us know what you thought about all the interesting news today. Are you okay with the next Smash Brothers Fighter Pack being the last for Ultimate? Are you gonna get the remastering of Wonderful 101? Do you hope to see Sonic and Tails in the next Sonic movie, should it get Mage? Are you excited for the next Platinum Games project? And when, if ever, are we getting the next Nintendo Direct? When I ask you. So for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.